Hello from a rainy Oroville in Tamil Nadu, India. Tamil Nadu gets its rain from the northeastern monsoon, unlike the rest of India. But this year, it has got quite a good spray from the southwestern monsoon. An unusual feat indeed. But today, this rain is our legitimate expected rainy season rain. Yes, late though, but northeastern monsoon has kicked in some 4 days back. So gear up with your rain ponchos and umbrellas and be ready for the mud and the slush. Monsoon has arrived. This is Nina welcoming you to the very special podcast. You are tuning in to the 62nd episode of the Audible Weed Walk. Usually, if you are following my podcast, I do a special coverage if there is a celebration, a special event, and try to link them to the local seasonal food, especially the wild weedy greens. Today, it is just like that. We have a pretty special event coming up. From 31st of October to 12th November, which affects us all, needs us all, involves us all. We'll get there soon. What is it about? Well, here is the following statement that gives you some hint. Listen up. I've mentioned this in my podcast before. Weeds are an excellent indicator of climate change. They also communicate to us about the soil and its changing conditions if we know how to read them. But on top of being an indicator, wild, weedy, uncultivated greens offer hope in form of much-needed food security, nutrition, and micronutrients as part of the climate change adaptation. You got it right. Climate change adaptation, climate actions are what we are going to hear about a lot now. The event is to realign our commitment in action towards the goal of reducing carbon emissions and thus tackle climate change. What is that goal? Does it sound like something very serious, newspapery stuff that you hear about but have not quite dwelt on it? Or are you a climate activist yourself and wish to connect to some kindred spirits across the globe so that we can collectively reflect and take actions that are local and even personal? Here in this podcast, I will first very briefly talk about COP26. Yes, it does sound like some kind of a police code, isn't it? Then you hear about, also something like COP21, Paris Agreement, Paris Accord. 189 nations have signed up for it, and then you hear it's 196. What is it? Does it matter? So let's cut to the chase. What on earth is COP? COP? Well, it stands for Conference of Parties. Why? Do not ask me, but parties refer to the nation state or recognized countries. They have met every year since 1995. That was COP 1 in 1995. Now we are going to have COP 26. This COP26 was supposed to take place in 2020, got delayed because of the pandemic, etc. But actually, it had got some benefit for this delay. In the process, USA, which withdrew from the Paris Agreement, has joined the table, which is a good thing. What is Paris Agreement now? Well, to tell you that, I must first mention UNFCCC. The United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. It's a mouthful, right? It is a legally binding treaty. The Paris Agreement is negotiated under this treaty. What is wonderful about any decision, wonderful about this is that any decision is taken amongst so many nations by consensus only, not by voting. That's really wonderful, isn't it? It's kind of like we do in the Orwell way. UNFCCC meets every 5 years. The last meeting coincided with the COP21 that took place in Paris. Initially, 189 nations had signed up, and now 196 nations have agreed to this accord. All these nations together account for greater than 99% of the global emissions. So what did the nations agree to according to this accord? Here comes the list. Global warming to be kept below 2 degrees centigrade increase compared to the pre-industrial era. Ideal target is set at 1.5 degree, if possible. Countries will make commitments, policy changes, take actions, reduce their own contribution to the global emissions to arrive at that level. Those who have agreed and signed the Paris Accord cannot lower their commitment levels. They can take steps to achieve more. Every 5 years, they should meet to evaluate and check how the countries have performed. And this would start in 2023. So, you think like everything is sorted. What and why are we talking about it so much now? Turns out that we haven't been doing very great. We have collectively fallen short of what we needed to do and achieve and need to right now realign and gear up. This is going to be discussed in the upcoming COP26 to take place from 31st of October to 12th November in Glasgow. Situation is rather serious. Some scientists are telling that enough of talking about and expressing good intentions. If we do not gear up and do something now, we will miss one of the last chances to keep the effects of climate change to a sort of manageable level. Even with this, we have and will experience irreversible damage. What are they? How grim are they? You can find a lot about if you do a web search, read articles and read and watch news. Locally, over the years, we have seen more rain with increased intensity and not spread over, more cloudy days, more severe weather events. All these, among other things, disrupt the cropping patterns, which itself have far-reaching social economic consequences affecting health and well-being of especially the poor and the vulnerable most. So, important climate actions groups such as, WRI, World Resources Institute, WWF, are all gearing up for the upcoming COP26, discussing, debating the reasons for non-achievement of targets and trying to offer a list of actions that will help realign the nations. I have been able to attend some of these events online. Two reflections from me on this. I find the discussions too much focused on realigning and saving businesses. And these events are not organized by the corporate houses, by the way. So nothing against business. A good sustainable business helps us all. And barter or money exchange, we have been doing business forever. But when the earth is in peril, I would have liked that the central theme was more strongly about life, living beings, their well-being, where business is only one factor. I find the solutions being discussed are same old a bit. Trying to find a greener alternative, for example, find cleaner fuel for aviation rather than also emphasizing with the same zeal, reduce flying around like bad habit. Switching to renewable without serious emphasis on appropriate energy saving options, especially for the developing tropics. Then I think it was also mentioned that if renewable does not work, then one model can be, shared solar. For example, I think they had the Bangladesh solar grid in mind, or produce hydrogen fuel. Excuse me? It is a high-tech option, and that itself takes a lot of energy. I would have liked to hear more emphasis on the R's that make sense. To rethink, before consumption, reuse, refurbish, restore, repurpose, because the only real solution is to consume less. There are issues unique to developed and developing nations, as there are for tropical and non-tropical ones. There is always this tendency to pitch one against the other, instead of breaking the boundaries and looking at the commonalities. There are poor people living within the developed nations. Their conditions not too much different from the people in the third world countries. And in the developing nations, such as in India, there are some people who consume much more than average person in a developed world. So why get into such binaries? It was emphasized quite a few times that to achieve the climate target, we need to get out of our comfort zone. But I think for us to realign, while the well-to-do people across the world should get out of their comfort zone, the poor and disenfranchised must get into a comfort zone that allows them to participate. How can anybody concentrate on climate change adaptation when you do not have enough to eat, little or no education, little hope to improve? The need is basic: energy, food, nutrition, health, education, and right over the resources they may have stewarded for generations, like the forest. So forget about these international dialogues and bigwig NGOs. Let's talk about what you and I can do to realign ourselves to reduce emission of carbon or carbon equivalent. Here is a quick list of only a few. Since transport and food are big emitters, I would say let's use public transport when we can, walk or bike whenever possible. Let's eat healthy, incorporate millets in our diet and local varieties of rice and wheats. It will support the local farmers while helping the diversity. That is the key, I think, you know, figuring out options. Ask if the alternative is going to help to increase and conserve biodiversity. Simply switching paper or plastic plates to banana leaves is not a good option. Bananas are huge water-guzzling monocultures, devoid of diversity. Think out of the box. It may not look or sound so cool, but using steel, ceramic, high-quality plastic plates that can be washed and reused are excellent use of resources. Plan your meals even or, you know, celebratory events such that there are no food wastage. Definitely become a locavore. Eat locally sustainably produced food. Become a food grower yourself. Even if it just has to be just one thing in one pot, it will be a reminder and inspiration for you to remain in climate action. You know, just like Charkha did for us during independence. You know, not everybody was spinning Charkha to wear the clothes they spun out of the thread. But it's to remain in action, to remain, to be reminded of. Of course, if you are become an ace weeder by now, your connection and ability to forage from the wild, even while in the city, will keep you engaged in climate action. My friend Anita Shanti's post reminded me of a Tibetan proverb of secret of living longer. I think the same is true for the long life of our living planet. The proverb says, eat half, walk double, love triple, and love without measure. And of course, one can add to this, share generously. With that thought, I will see you next time. In the meantime, stay well and stay safe. And do not forget to send me some ideas that you may have about how to combat climate change in our daily life. Email me at edibleweedwalk@gmail.com or post it in the comment section when this podcast comes up in the YouTube video. See you then. Bye.